This is Benly Talks. This is episode 5. This is the episode with Ben and Finn. This is the episode about Shia LaBeouf. Welcome, everyone. Finn, how you doing?
I'm all right, Ben. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty darn good.
That is good to hear.
Stressful morning. Time for Benly.
Time for Benly.
It's spiritual true. Peace and serenity.
Are we spiritual?
No rage. No. None of that.
Yeah, no rage, world. Not like Diary of a Wimpy Kid rage, none of that.
Today we're going to appreciate a chaotic and interesting man, very, very interesting man. He's done some very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Bit of a roller coaster career he's had. And an all-round nice guy by the looks of it, from all the different things.
Yeah, I think, nice guy. Especially in like recent times, he's become like kind of, I don't even know what, I was going to say like a guru, but you know like how gurus are, like they just kind of like take everything, they're like slow, yeah. They like get everything right. That he has that kind of aura.
He does what he wants and he does it well.
Yeah, and he does what is like best for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's chilled out now.
Yeah, definitely.
Everyone's seen Shia LaBeouf's wild moments.
I actually, when I was making the notes for this, I purposefully left out like the controversies about him like being arrested, because quite frankly, I don't care.
I, as you're saying that, my notes page is up and I'm staring at one of them right now.
Anyway, we'll start from the beginning, because I've got notes from like basically the start of his career up until now. Pretty fun fact, I don't know if you know this, but Shia LaBeouf, the lovely little character that he is, went through Yellow Pages when he was, I think, 10 or 11 years old, and was calling up, like, agencies pretending to be his own manager, like, representing Shia LaBeouf so that he could get roles as a fucking 11-year-old. And so, like,
he's smart.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say that's how he got the Even Stevens job, but I want to say that, like, certainly helped, because it kind of, like, so I think someone did pick him up for how weird it was, and then they were like...
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah. I bet they didn't pick him up because they were like, oh, this kid's got a manager already. I bet they picked him up because they were like, that's initiative. Yeah. We want him.
He has fucking balls, mate. He's crazy.
He does.
He used to do, like, comedy shows, like, when he was, like, 10 to, like, adults, and his show would be, like, incredibly rude or filled with, like, vulgar... kind of like jokes and language, and it would always get a reaction because obviously he was 10, so I don't know. But then this is a weird one. Well, it's not weird necessarily, but it's like, I don't know, you almost like don't expect it. Like, he only became an actor because his family was like really broke, and he saw someone who became like an actor and was like, I'll do that to earn money.
I did not know that.
So he did it out of necessity, not because he wanted to. So he just kind of like, he just fell into the world of acting rather than like wanting to be an actor. If anything, that just is Shia LaBeouf, really. Like, I couldn't, like, that just seems like such a Shia thing to do.
Yeah. And then that's quite mad as well, because you think about how much success he's gained.
Yeah.
Or popularity, I should say. There's not all of it was success.
Yeah.
But popularity. You'd struggle to find someone these days that wouldn't know the name Shia LaBeouf.
Mm.
Or the face, if you showed a picture.
Yeah. They definitely recognize him from one of the many things that he's done. And one of the first things that he did, I don't know if you ever watched Even Stevens, but he did...
A little bit.
He was... I want to say it's Louis. You know how Americans get. Like, I've seen Louis pronounced as Louis.
Not Steven.
No, he plays Louis Stevens. Shut the fuck up, Ben. This is why no one listens to our fucking show.
Because they go, oh, these fucking retards.
These fucking dumb cunts, mate.
Okay.
I have one quote from Shia LaBeouf, and it was on Even Stevens. He said he basically grew up on that show, and it was the best thing that could have ever happened to him. Which is pretty cool, because obviously that gave him fame, and that gave him like a job, and it gave him and his family money, I suppose. I didn't write down when this was, so this was must have been between like, this would have been like early 2000s to like mid 2000s, because he went on to be bloody Stanley Yelnats in Holes. Have you seen Holes?
I have seen Holes. It's a good film.
It's one of my favorite. I'd say it's one of my favorite films. It's one of those where you're like, I don't remember it for a while, but then when I do remember it, I'm like, wow, that's a fucking good film, and he was good in it.
Very good film.
Yeah.
Very strange at points, like the onion bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Why is there onions going on a mountain? But Shia LaBeouf does what he wants.
We're just going to basically skip forward to when he became... this is like purely his career as an actor, because like I've got a whole notes on some of the other shit that he's done, which you would have probably seen. But this
I've got something here of 2009.
Ooh, hit me with it.
He was charged with a misdemeanor for trespassing following his 21st birthday. And he told the press that he'd been trying to buy some cigarettes at 4 in the morning. I got really, and this is the quote, I got really wasted in Chicago and ended up celebrating in Walgreens. He ended up making multiple late-night Walgreens visits, each of them involving a costume change. Ultimately, the store just went, all right, mate, have your fun, and just dropped the charges completely.
Oh, my God.
He's 21. He's just gone mental.
Was he 21 at that time?
Yeah, so that was just his 21st birthday, and bam, just got blackout drunk and just kept going in and out the same.
Yeah, I feel like he's
costumes.
He definitely did. Has he said that he was an alcoholic? Is he or
he was at one point?
Is that
he didn't admit it until a long time afterwards? Though.
Yeah, like I've got a note for later on, but he went to rehab. But I want to say that may have been due to alcoholism as well as PTSD.
Yes,
which I find. Like, not ridiculous, it's just crazy that, like, he actually
does... Do you know
what
PTSD is from?
I don't know specifically, but...
We'll talk about that in a bit.
We'll see if it lines up, because I don't want to... We won't bring it up now. But, moving into bloody... When did Transformers come out? Was it 2008? 2009? Was that when he was in it? That Transformers series, the one with bloody... Did Megan Fox stay on it, actually, when Mark Wahlberg...
No, Fox was in the first and the second.
So
the disagreement with the director.
Yeah, so it's Shia and Megan Transformers, that series. Like, that fucking... He kind of became, like, Hollywood's, like, up-and-coming dude. Like, they would put him in movies that... Like, big franchises and shit. Because he was also in Indiana Jones...
Yeah,
you know.
Oh, and, yeah, the Crystal Skull.
Yeah, and like
the little switchblade.
Yeah, they were like. It seems like they were fully preparing Shia to like become like a top A-list fucking actor, like, you know, named in every movie, you know. But I mean, obviously, I mean, he kind of did. I say he didn't do that. He really did, but like as we move through like the 2010s, he started to get a little bit funky. Right, he started to. Things started to, like, get a bit derailed. Like, not... They went derailed for, like, other reasons. But in terms of his career, in 2012, we had the classic, right? This is a meme that everyone knows. We had Rob Cantor, who is, like, a fucking... He's, like, a musical... He's, like, an artist, basically. He's, like, he's like a musician and, like, performer. And he created actual Cannibal Shia LaBeouf, which... Obviously, is quite like a strange thing, but Shia LaBeouf, like, he endorsed it. He was in it. He was at the end of the video applauding as it like the only person in the crowd, which is just again Shia LaBeouf in a fucking nutshell. Like only he would fucking do that.
It's the determination as well that you see there.
Yeah, like he is fucking going for it, and I mean, obviously, he knew that the video was like. For like humorous intent, like obviously, Rob Cantor he doesn't actually think that Shia LaBeouf is a bloody cannibal running through the woods, like. But that was, I mean, that was in 2012. That's crazy. I don't know what he was in between. Like, I mean, I don't know the timeline between like Transformers, Indiana Jones, up until 2014, in which he starred in Bloody Fury. Which
yes.
I know you've seen recently, and I watched a while ago. But that film's just sick, honestly. Like that,
I've watched it a number of times.
Yeah.
I've watched it a large number of times. Very good film.
And this is where, like, you could argue it was, like, peak, I say peak fame in terms of, like, just the cast he was surrounded by. Mm. Because I want to say, I feel like you may know this, but I feel like he did something to, like, better become his character, I want to say.
Yes, and that is exactly the notes I have.
Okay, so I'll quickly just mention, like, personally, I think it's an awesome film. I think it's one of the, like, it's a really good war film, I think.
Yes.
And then, obviously, it has just fucking, like, such an all-star cast. Like, bloody hell. We've got Brad Pitt, got Logan Lerman, who is the perks of being a Wallflower guy. You got, mm-hmm. I never know how to say his name. I think it's Michael Peña, the guy from, like, Ant-Man and fucking all those films. The Marvel films. We got John Bernthal. We got Scott Eastwood. And then Jason Isaacs, who's Lucius Malfoy. Like, these people aren't... Yeah. These people are not, like... We don't have, like, Brad Pitt and then a bunch of, like, you know, B-list to lower. We have just fucking A-list celebrities through
high
and through.
High-grade.
Yeah.
Good actors.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, and Shia LaBeouf was fucking, he was really good in it. And I want to hear, I don't remember what he did, so I want to know what that was.
He went very method for this. He, just like many people do, lots of people, like Christian Bale is a very well-known method actor.
Yeah.
Properly gets into his character. Some of them go a bit nuts. Shia went a little bit nuts, and this is where the PTSD thing comes from. So, in order to prepare to sort of match the character and not just play the character but be the character, he joined the National Guard.
Okay.
So he just joined the National Guard and started to sort of get the feel for how it is, like, in the ranks amongst soldiers effectively. He obviously, in the film, his character is heavily religious, and he fully accepted Christ into his life in real life.
Oh my goodness.
And basically borderline became a preacher, was preaching to everyone and anyone. And I don't know whether he still is today. I'd assume so.
I want to say, because he I believe is from like a Jewish family, or like half Jewish or something like that. And he kind of said that he was Jewish, but like didn't really believe in God. And then at some point, I'm assuming this is Fury, like around 2014, he like became Christian. I say became Christian,
that's,
he kind of like
that,
accepted.
That's probably why it's such a big thing then, for him to be Jewish and then fully accept Christ.
Go from Jewish to not believing in God to becoming like a full-on Christian. I mean, he's an interesting individual.
Oh, it gets more interesting. So, in the film, we see him with a double cut on his cheek.
Yeah.
Parallel. That wasn't makeup from the makeup department. That was a real, pretty deep cut. Like, he's got permanent scars on his face now because he took a knife to his face and cut a nice deep two cuts on his face.
Mmm. Yum.
To make it look realistic. Because throughout the film, it looks perfectly real. You've got like the colors that blend through the skin.
Yeah.
That was, he did that. He pulled out a tooth.
I think that's the one I know of. I think he pulled teeth.
I think it was one of his canines or an incisor or something. He yanked that out.
My God.
He spent a month living on a forward operating base, not to see the war side of things, but to watch the horses die, the service horses die.
Oh my God.
To get him to such a depressed state, basically to lower his standards way down of life and just fully, this ties back into the whole like Jesus and Christ thing, that Christ was the only one that could save him now, to get him into that role of,
oh my God,
for Fury. So he basically, in every bad situation, the only thing that would get him out was Christ.
Oh my goodness, bro.
It's pretty grim, isn't it?
Yeah, that is dedication to his craft, like fucking hell.
That's where the PTSD comes from.
Damn, bro.
So he's got PTSD. I still think to this day that,
yeah, like, I think he still like deals with it.
He did not bathe for 4 months during production and shooting.
Mmm.
So all that dirt on his face, not makeup, that is him being dirty.
Christ.
And Brad Pitt, obviously a very well-known actor and established actor, said it was difficult to work with Shire because of the smell, but fully accepted it because of the results that came out of it. They all basically said it was hard because you get in that tank and it was just Shire filled the room.
Oh my god, dude. I mean,
that's why he got shot in the film. Spoilers.
Well, I mean, that's fine.
Stinky.
So as I said, moving on to a bit more lighter, like a bit more of a lighter note. From 2017 onwards, his career is really good. Like I've got a note here from Borg versus McEnroe, which I remember being advertised fucking back in 2017, and I thought it was cool because he really does look like he really embraces. I want to say he was McEnroe. I have no idea if that's true or not. I can't remember. I should have written it down. However, I haven't seen it, but. He got like loads of praise for this role, which is always nice to see. We love it when an actor gets like praise, especially Shire, because obviously he went. This is like after some of the like performance art projects, which we'll fucking get onto. So like this is after like a bit of a fucking decline in his mental health, and then he starred in bloody the Peanut Butter Falcon. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
That is such a lovely film. I love that film so much. Yeah, it's really. Yeah. I don't know what
big turning point.
Yeah, it's. I don't even know how to describe. It's just warm, like because he really just. I say I don't even know. Like it's like he's a carer, but he actually is just. He's just hanging out with what's his name, Zach something. Because that's just I don't know. It just seems like a friendly thing to do, and it's like a situation which he was. I mean, in the film. His character isn't even forced on. Like, I'm pretty sure... No, he was forced on it. Like, the guy, Zach, didn't, like, leave him alone. And he was like, oh, you know, follow me if you want, but, like, follow behind. And then they just ended up bonding throughout the entire film. It was lovely. Great film. If you haven't seen it, go watch it, because it's fucking great, honestly.
Yep. And I agree.
Is it on anything? I don't think so. It might be on Prime. No, in fact, I think the Peanut Butter Falcon is on Netflix. And I think the next one I'm talking about, Honey Boy, is only on Prime.
Yes.
Now, Honey Boy is interesting because he wrote and starred in Honey Boy. He wrote it while he was in rehab. Now, this is why I was asking, because I want to say this stint in rehab was to do with... This is a guess, so I don't actually want to be disrespectful, you know? I want to say this is to do with alcoholism. That is my guess. Because I don't think he drinks to this day. I'm pretty sure he's stopped.
No, he's stone cold sober.
And he wrote this film, and it's based upon his life as a child actor growing up. And he plays a character based on his father, right? And I don't know if you knew this, but he had, because it's like based upon the character of his father, he had to like get his dad to like sign like a rights agreement. And his dad, I mean... Through the like content of the film, like you can tell his dad probably wasn't like the most perfect of father figures, you know. So like to get him to sign off on this is like pretty difficult, especially saying like, "Me, your son, I'm gonna play you," when you may have been a piece of shit, and the dad wouldn't sign that. So he told his dad that Mel Gibson was playing him, and that made the dad just sign it.
Away.
And then Shire obviously. Replaced. He just
played his dad.
Yeah, he just played his dad. Well, again, it's weird because it's a character based on his dad. Like, it's not like obviously there's probably like embellishments and stuff, but still, there's just an interesting kind of thing that you have to do because Honey Boy is a very weird film. I say it's weird. It's really good. Like the guy that plays what's his name? I want to say it's Oscar in the film. It feels very real. Which is kind of scary because like you know you're watching a film but like you feel like the character's pain, like you can tell like the guy in the film Oscar gets PTSD through being like a child actor and getting all this pressure put on him, and he like gets into an accident on set and they're like, "Hey, you got PTSD, bro," and it's like really sad, and they go through like his childhood of being like because I want to say like Shire and his dad like did like clown Or like, they were clowns, basically. In the story, anyway. But I want to say Shire also did that in real life. Like, these performances and stuff. And his dad would, like, put pressure on him to do well. Because, obviously, they were broke in real life. So that kind of makes sense. It tracks. But yeah, I think, again, if you haven't seen Honey Boy, that is also one to watch. Basically, you should watch all of Shah's films. Like, none of them are, like, inherently shit. There's only, like, one or two, I wouldn't say, which, all like...
All his new ones, he believes are, like, his best work.
Yeah, no, I actually...
Obviously, some of the old ones, like Transformers, classics, new ones, yeah, shite.
I think, but... you know... I mean, I never really liked Transformers, but that's just me just not liking Transformers. That has nothing to do with Shire. And then same with Indiana Jones. Like, you can't... Yeah. You can't really hate Indiana Jones. You just choose not to watch it, kind of thing. But I think Fury is one of his, like, best films. And then Peanut Butter Falcon, Honey Boy, as you said, like, they are... I think, in my opinion, they are his best work, like, by far.
And he said that. Like, he said that was... They're the sort of films that he wants to do from now on.
Yeah.
Or maybe not films. He said something about doing a, like, a, not a TV show, but like a series of short films that are all interconnected.
Damn. Creates like a mini Shire universe.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like the curl, like the big circle that he's done of success, big success, and sort of going downhill, going a bit off the rails, coming back to a bit more success, and then completely changing the way he goes about it, because all these new films now aren't well known. They're not massively
they're released independently, or like with a indie studio rather than like
they're not these big names plastered everywhere, but they are the best material that he's ever produced.
100%. I 100% agree with that. So, I do have actually one more final... This is one final thing. This is because it became a bit of a meme recently when everyone was doing virtual readings of films, right? He participated in a virtual reading of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which is a film that came out, I want to say, in the 80s or 90s, maybe.
Yeah,
and
late 80s.
He got, like, a shitload of praise due to his performance because he... You know, he fucking went in for it. Like, he wasn't just sitting there, like, reading the lines. He, like, fucking went for it. Like, would, you know, scream, shout, would, like, get out of his car to, like, show emotion. It's fucking crazy. It just shows again, like, he fucking... For someone who just, like, fell into the world of acting, like, he is so unbelievably dedicated to doing a good job at being an actor. It is awful.
It's like what I said earlier. He doesn't play the character. He is the character.
Yeah, he becomes the character.
And he does that every time.
And I think it is something to be said, like, you know, you can compare him to, like, other method actors, like Christian Bale, who I get, like, we'll do a Christian Bale episode, because I saw The Prestige the other day, or yesterday. Oh, what a great film. And, you know, when they do these films, like, I mean, I couldn't quite compare him to, like, Daniel Day-Lewis. Like, he's fucking crazy. Like, he's nuts, like, how much he goes into a role. Like, just a little tidbit. Like, Daniel Day-Lewis, like, he had to play, like, he had to play a carpenter of some sort. So he just learnt how to fucking make things from scratch. What? You don't need to do that, really. It's just unnecessary. But Shah, again, he, like, in the same way, like, will go above and beyond expectations. Oh, yeah. In order to sell how good he is at portraying this particular character. And
we've already, like, seen from what we spoke about earlier, like, he's done some pretty extreme stuff to become the character he was given.
So we'll move on to his performance art projects, which you will have obviously seen them. Like, some became, like, newsworthy, some were just popular on, like, the internet and things, but it just shows how, like, Shire's, like, he's, like, so, like, super creative, and it shows how, like, he's super weird. Like, he is weird, but, like, you know, when you describe someone as weird, it's, like, not necessarily in a bad way, because he is just so, like, on it and with it that, like, sometimes he'll do something and people go, that's fucking strange, what the hell? But actually, he's, like, so ahead of it. He, like, knows exactly how they're going to perceive it. And he's, like, accounted for it. So I've got a couple of, like, the big ones that he did. And these are the ones that, like, I fully remember. this is a good one. It's called the I Am Sorry Project. I can't remember who he did it with. There's, like, he's done work with these, like, I want to say they're Swedish or Finnish. and they just they've done a bunch of these projects together. Like, I'm pretty sure he's collaborated with them on every single one. But at the 2014 Berlin Film Festival, he arrived at the red carpet with a paper bag over his head, which said, "I'm not famous anymore."
Yeah.
Which people obviously thought was very fucking weird, very strange thing to do if you're on the red carpet. It obviously means that you're somewhat famous, surely. Then, 6 days after this red carpet event, he rented out a space, like a warehouse, and invited the public in one at a time to say or do whatever they wanted to him. And next to he was sat on like a chair in a tux with the same bag over his head saying like, "I am sorry," or "I'm not famous anymore." And there was a table next to him which had like fucking various blunt objects, like baseball bats, like shit you could fucking really injure him with. And yeah, he was like, "You can come in and do whatever you want." But when people went in, all they did was like give him praise and like say how he's not forgotten. He's like, or they love his movies, or they admire his craft, etc. That kind of thing. And fucking, he just cried like throughout the entire project because he didn't expect that. Like, I'm pretty sure at this time he obviously was going through a lot. Like, he was probably like quite mentally unstable. So like him thinking, "Yeah, I'm gonna get smacked. Like, my kneecaps are gonna get smashed in by people that hate me." When actually he was just loved from all the fans that were coming in one at a time just to tell him how much they love his movies and his acting and shit. One newspaper called the Daily Dot called it genuinely disturbing how he would think that people would do such a thing, because like
a very weird way to sort of go about it, isn't it?
Yeah, if you feel
you're not worth anything, I'll just invite loads of people. Oh, I'll just go down the street. Oh yeah, you beat the shit out of me in this big warehouse, please.
Yeah, the next project he did, this is one of the cool ones. Like, this is one of the genuinely, like, I want to say like real ones that he did. It was called the All My Movies. Do you remember this one?
No.
Oh, this was a good one. This was a doozy. Basically, he rented out like a cinema or a theater, I guess, in America or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he invited people to come and sit with him and watch all his movies in reverse chronological order. And they're like the live stream, which you could watch like at home, would just be like a like basically like this, like of just Shire just watching the film, reacting to his movies with like an audience behind him, and like no one was sat next to him. They were all like sat like,
I do remember it, yeah.
And it was very surreal. Like, honestly, I would have fucking killed to go there, because that would have, it's just so fascinating to watch. And someone, I don't have the quote because I'm an idiot, but someone who went in said that it was like kind of like really, I just spat over my mic then, Christ. Very thought-provoking that Shire was like in this position to see himself become like, you know, I don't know how many films he did at this point, but become like 10, 15, 20 different characters and be displayed on like a fucking huge screen with everyone behind him reacting to him while he's present, which I thought was fucking sick. Again, very Shire move, very cool. And it was kind of like, it was really wholesome, like the whole event. Again, he was just receiving praise throughout the entire thing.
That's where the crying Shire pitch from, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because he's just sat there like this, just crying his eyes out, and you can see all the people sort of up around him.
And the final one, now this one, you definitely know, right? He did a project with the same Swedish-Finnish people called the Introductions Project, which was a half an hour video of Shire performing several monologues. And one was the exaggerated motivational speaker, which they dubbed Just Do It. And obviously this became like a fucking huge meme. Like, it was everywhere. Like, it was huge. Now, I don't know if you know this. I mean, I'm assuming you've watched the Hot Ones episode with Shire. But it just shows how ahead of the goddamn curve Shire is. They went into making that project knowing that one thing from that half an hour sequence was gonna be memed. And when asked about it, he was just like, anything you create and put out there is art. And so he was just he was like, I wanted to make people create art. So they filmed in front of a green screen, obviously allowing people to change out the backgrounds, do whatever they want.
That was the big thing that sort of gave the key to people, wasn't it?
When he made it and it came out, he said that like he fuels like the internet to go and create memes, which he considers art because they created it. So they created something new from something else. And he obviously, just being classic Shire, was like, he didn't like get excited about it. He was just like, yeah, if you create art, you know, that's art, you know. That, you know, I just want to inspire people, you know. That and that's just all he did, which is fucking awesome. And again, it just shows how much I fucking admire that guy. He's so crazy. He's like, he's just nuts in like the most perfect way possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's fucking awesome.
Kind of like me, actually.
Can you compare yourself?
Well, I stink. I haven't washed in 4 months.
That's all it takes.
And I'm an alcoholic, but I won't go to rehab. Yeah, yeah, we're quite different.
That's the second reference to you being an alcoholic in 2 episodes, Ben. That is not.
Is it?
Yeah.
Tune in for the hat trick and episode 6.
But he's also done some like really, really lovely things. Like he has a small theatre. I don't know where it is, or like a small, like charity kind of like organization where they teach like at-risk kids and adults how to act.
Yes, I do know that.
So they can like potentially get roles in theatre and they put on their own productions and things, which are fully funded by donations and things. But
it's such a poetic thing, I think, because he is providing a service that young Shire wanted.
Yes.
Help for troubled children, which he was, and for kids that want to act.
Yeah. And I think also like the right representation. Like obviously, you know, you can get child actors that kind of like, they get screwed over by the adults who are caring for them, whether that's, you know, a parent or an uncle or a fucking manager or agent, you know, and they're just like exploiting the kid to make money.
Yeah, happens this is, all the time.
Yeah, this gives them, especially Shire being at the head of it, knowing what it's like being a child actor, he can like make sure that no one gets done wrong by the industry. Which, I mean, he probably knows Hollywood is fucking whack, which is probably why he makes like more indie flicks now, rather than I don't know if this is true. But I want to say that he has written off doing any like big budget thing. I want to say.
I think he has. I remember. What's that? I think that he mentioned that on Hot Ones.
Yeah.
That he is done with Hollywood.
Yeah, like he wants to just produce.
Strongly.
Yeah.
Strongly, like, feels that Hollywood is bad, which to some extent I agree. They do.
I think
it's very much. It's like aristocrats.
Yeah.
If you're in there, you're in there. If you're not,
it's hard to break into it,
profitable.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, unless you're profitable.
Yeah, that is just a whole nother can of worms.
Yeah, could do an episode on that.
Honestly, yeah, the fucking how Hollywood is whack. I don't really like Hollywood. I think it's fucking corrupt. From like, I mean, for lack of a better phrase, just white old men, just how it used to be, and it's just never changed. So
it's the same as politics.
Yeah, it's all fucked. So
most modern day things that are large societies, I guess, or whatever,
they're built upon the foundation that white people are better than everyone else.
Yep.
Yeah, so
it's sad, but it's true.
Yeah, that is pretty much Shire's life up until this point.
A very interesting life.
Yeah, and again, like, you should just go watch like all of his films. Like, he's really fascinating, and as you've said, like he really like becomes the character. So his films are like a truly interesting watch. You're not just watching Shire be good. You're watching the character that is being portrayed do the things. It's truly fascinating.
It's amazing, and I think he is amazing.
Yeah,
and I can't wait to see where he goes. Like, what's he gonna do? Like, it's there's not even like a prediction you can make. It's just
because with Shire, you know, he's kind of unpredictable in that way.
He really is.
Yeah. I just want to fucking say, make sure to like subscribe and things. You know, make sure to subscribe. Make sure to like it. We are I am looking into getting these on Spotify. I am going to figure it out, because there's, yes, I think there's a process, and I don't know how that process goes, but I'm going to look into it, and we'll make sure that everyone who may not want to fucking have YouTube on, or, like, you know, you can't watch YouTube on your phone while you're listening, yeah, like, you know, the whole lot, you know, so you, we'll get it on Spotify at some point, and we'll put all episodes on there, which would be fucking really sick. Make sure to follow.
Tell your friends about it.
Yeah, tell everyone about it. Share, like, fucking put it on Facebook and shit.
Yeah. Be epic. Tell your mother, tell your brother.
Yeah.
Whoever.
Follow our Instagram. Fucking old Ben here. He runs it because funny.
Meme lord.
Yeah. We've got a Twitter as well, so go.
Yeah.
Go fucking follow us there. And that's more or less it. Just keep remembering to do that, because we want to grow. We want to do better. The more fucking views and shit we get, the bigger we can do things, the better guests we can get on.
The more personal we can make it.
Exactly.
Give us suggestions, because we're running out of ideas.
Yeah. Tell us fucking, you know, fucking message us on any platform. Tell us, like, an actor you want to show on, a specific movie, because we love doing it. We honestly really do love making this. And when I get a message from someone saying that, like, you know, oh, you know, I really like listening to it, it's kind of like, wow, that's crazy. You know, why would you want to listen to us two? We're fucking inept. But we bring comedy.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And it, what I tell you what's nice, personally for me, is we didn't start this to get popular or get watched or anything like that. We started this because we were sat there having a laugh like we always do. And we just thought, wouldn't that be fun?
That is a funny little anecdote that we can have. Is we were just both sat on Discord, and I said to you,
we're on Call of Duty. Talking about.
I feel like it. We definitely spoke about it like a while ago, but it was like obviously like just before the first episode where I just said like, yeah, we, you know, we could just do a thing where it's just you and me. We just talk about like whatever we want, and you were like, yeah, I'm down. like came up with the name like that day.
Yeah. And then, like, a week later...
Wait,
it was George that came up with the name, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it fucking was George, because George came on and he said, oh, yeah, that sounds like a good thing. Like, here's the name. I quickly made, like, a logo. Like, logo. It's just letters. And made, like, the background for the video. And then that was it. We just recorded and just fucking
within a week of us jokingly saying we could do a podcast because we're fucking hilarious. We made a podcast because we're fucking hilarious. up the boys.
So yeah,
3:45, Finn.
Yeah, I'm not gonna like shut the fuck up. Anyway, that is the end of this episode. So again, subscribe, like, fucking follow us on everything. Links are all in the description, whether it's Ben or me or the channel personally.
Shout out Max and Chad.
Oh, shout out Max and Chad.
High quality.
We stan cold ones.
Yep.
Anyway.
Big pogs. I need a wee again.
Fair enough.
For the second episode in a row.
See you around.
What did that sound like?
It just went.
Right, yeah. I do need a wee. I'll be back in a second. Right. I'm gonna piss my pants. I was pinching my pee pee for a lot of that episode.